Welcome to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Christopher Famous. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com.
Bermuda Bistro at the Beach is centrally located on Front Street in Hamilton. Our dedicated service staff are ready to serve you a selection of delicious items for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Open daily from 9 a.m. till 3 a.m., Bermuda Bistro is Bermuda's best spot for pub fare, gourmet burgers, and specialty cocktails. Happy hours at the beach are Bermuda's number one hotspot and host an array of live entertainment.
Hi, this is Chris Famous here for Burr News, and today I'm very blessed to have an interview with a young Bermudian who's making waves in the legal fraternity. None other than Mr. Ryan Parenchy, Ryan Robinson Parenchy, to be correct. Student X. Shouldn't he say X? Once you're a Barclayite, you never act. Yeah, that's wrong. Barclayite class of 2014. Mm-hmm. And I would just let Ryan say a little bit about himself and his life at present.
Okay, afternoon. How you doing, Mr. Famous? My name is Ryan Robinson Parenchief, as you've just heard. I'm currently a law student at Durham University. I've just come back for summer. I've been trying to get some corporate experience and some criminal experience, but the end goal is to get a law degree. I'm a Barclay graduate of 2014, and I'm happy to be here to talk about the Greener Gold Bowl and my experience as a Barclayite.
Yeah, so is it just a little brief on your legal career, looking to do long-term corporate or?
I haven't decided yet. My aim right now is just to get as much experience as possible, you know. So I finished from Barclay. I knew I wanted to do a law degree. I did a gap year and did some foreign exchange program with Rotary International.
Oh, in Brazil.
In Brazil. I went to Brazil. Mm-hmm. And from there, I went and started at Durham University. So I'll just be going into my first official year of law school, and I have another year or two to decide, so we'll see where it goes from there.
So for those that haven't been to Brazil, how did you find your experience down there?
I loved it. Brazil is a great place. Rotary, the Bermuda chapter sends a few students away every year, mm-hmm. To certain countries, and then exchange students come to Bermuda. So I was lucky enough to be accepted into their program. But Brazil, it was an amazing place. You know, you stay with host families, you learn the culture. I came back learning the language, and it was a good experience, and I'm happy that I did it.
So how did you find the people in Brazil?
I mean, it varies from place to place, you know, but overall, the people are beautiful, you know, on the inside and out, and they're very hospitable. I think a lot of them look like Bermudians, and I kind of fit right in depending on where I went, depending on the parts of Brazil that I went to, but overall, it was a great eye opener for me.
So you kind of left Brazil too early. You got there too late for the World Cup and too early
for the Olympics. I know. Okay. So I definitely have to go back. But
all right. So life at Durham. What's life like in England now?
I mean, it was a big contrast, to be honest, coming from Bermuda to Brazil and then to Durham, in every aspect, from the food to the weather. I mean, when I left Bermuda, it was summertime, and I went to Brazil, and their summer is our winter, and vice versa. So I was in summer for about a whole year long. I was in summer, in summer mode. So going from Brazil's hot temperatures and then coming back to Bermuda just for a month or two before going out to cold England, where there is no sun at all, it was definitely an adjustment. My skin got a little lighter, and the weather got a lot colder, so... But overall, I'm loving Durham so far. It's a great school, and I'm just adjusting to English life now.
Okay, so how do you feel? How is law school going for you?
Well, I had to take a pre-law year this year. It was a foundation year coming from Barclay. So I won't be starting officially until I go back in about a week's time. Mm-hmm. So I can't really say right now, but I'm just anxious and excited to see, you know, what comes. But I still have 3 years as far as law school.
So Durham, what's the student body like there on campus and so on?
It's a small town. It's in a university town just near Newcastle. It's considered prestigious as far as English people are concerned. I didn't know much about it before I went, but it's a very good school. They have a collegiate system. The town is based on the university population, so when the students are out, basically the town shuts down. It's very quaint. a nice castle town, and they filmed, I think, Harry Potter and a few other films there, you know. So, but it's a beautiful city and a beautiful town. I like it.
And like from a cultural viewpoint, how do you find the quote unquote native English? How do you find them?
Well, I'm still adjusting to the accents. That's one thing. But I'm still adjusting to it, period, you know, coming from, for example, Brazil, where people are a lot more open and free to European culture. It's an adjustment, but I'm learning through it. You know? I'm used to being in different environments and dealing with different types of people, so I'm just still getting used to it, really, but
so
no problem so far.
From a young person's perspective, you're seeing much of the world that many persons in my generation haven't seen as yet, most likely may never see beyond just National Geographic. How do you feel about young people traveling and seeing the world apart from Disney World and shopping malls?
Well, I agree with you there. I was definitely blessed to have ample opportunities as a child. I don't come from a wealthy family as far as financially, but my parents definitely made sure that every opportunity I had, I took it. You know, I've traveled with the debate team, I was sponsored by Rotary when I went and did foreign exchange. I've traveled with Center for Talented Youth to do some learning programs and some civic leadership programs. And overall, it's definitely helped to produce the person that I am today, and I'm proud of that. Mm. And I would encourage as many young people as possible to sign up and do whatever programs they can. You know, Barclay now has started, since I was there, they've started university tours, for example, and for some people, you know, they haven't traveled to the places that the universities are at. And just every opportunity, you know, whether it's debate or football or anything, it's something that I think Bermudians have the privilege of doing and should take every opportunity of doing.
Yeah, because what I notice is, like, the difference between my generation and your generation is there's a lot more opportunities than we had. And to be in different organizations and to see other parts of the world, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's no longer strange for Bermudian to say, oh, I've been to China.
Right.
Or I've been to Brazil even.
Right.
Like, my generation, somebody said that, they'd be like, wow, you went to where? No, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, so how was it? You know, it's like, very, I wouldn't say passé, but it's become part of the social fabric now.
And that can be a good thing and a bad thing, you know? I mean, it's great for young people to get experiences and go out and see the world, but one thing that I've tried to do, and I think every young person traveling should try to do, is to stay grounded, you know? So go and learn from those experiences as you travel, whether it's through debate or football or whatever, and then remember what's home.
Yeah, okay. So let's bring it back to him. Tell us a little bit about your life at Barclay.
I love Barclay. I wish I had never left, you know. I mean,
wish you never left.
some parts of me. But I only did 3 years at Barclay. I had transferred in my second year of high school to Barclay. And it was a great decision, I think. I loved Barclay, you know.
Strong family tradition at Barclay.
I hadn't been familiar with the public school system until that year. But my family all went through Barclay almost. And just to go and see, my dad said, you know, I want you to go to Barclay. I want you to see, you know, live like everybody else, you know, and see what school is like, you know, what public school is like, and be around a diverse group of people from what I had been used to. And I loved it. Barclay was some of the best days of my life as far as high school and my educational experience, you know. I came into Barclay, would have been S2, and I joined the student council in S3 and S4. I served as treasurer. I became head boy in S4 my last year of high school, and I definitely tried my best to contribute to the school environment. I made a couple waves at times.
Let's define waves.
Well, I'll put it this way. I guess at Barclay, I was always looking for ways to improve things as a student. Whether that was as far as curriculum was concerned, or even in student life, you know. So I wasn't afraid to, I guess, ruffle some feathers in some respects, you know. But, and I'm happy I did that because...
Was that before or after you became head boy?
I would say in between, you know. I think, I mean, at first I thought that perhaps administration and the teachers and the higher-ups wouldn't like it, you know. But the fact that they did make me head boy showed that they were, you know, they were open to people who were critical of the public school system and of Berkeley, because they know that I guess I was genuine, you know, and I genuinely did want to help and make things and improve things and not just be, quote unquote, a figurehead or somebody sitting there who was doing well but ignoring everything else, you know. And I'm glad of that. I'm happy for that because I see that they're constantly striving to better the system there and better Berkeley. And I'm happy with what Berkeley is today, and I've always been happy with its legacy. But I think we have to keep that up by continuously trying to make Berkeley what it is already, which is the best school in Bermuda, you know.
Yeah, you got cynical people that would say, oh, they gave them the hair boy thing to kind of shut him up.
Well, it didn't work.
So. You didn't say like, oh, I'm hair boy, no, I better not make any waves, I better just
no,
go along.
No, I said, now I need
along.
To make a little bit more waves using whatever I could around
okay.
me. So, you know, they implemented the permediation program and things like that, and I was happy to be a part of that, which was, you know, when you had the increase in gang violence and student violence a couple of years ago. They implemented programs like that where students could come together and help to resolve disputes with each other. And I think that's the type of things that they're working on and continue to work on, which make Berkeley, you know, a place for everybody to be.
Mm. Okay, so you were on the student council 2014, so that would have been the student council that helped to... What were some of the key things that you say that student council body in your year
mm-hmm.
were able to establish?
We did a lot of nice initiatives, especially for the students, but I think what you're alluding to would be the Berkeley Green and Gold Ball. I served as treasurer during the inception of that. And we had a student council committee, and Mr. Roddock, Romeo Roddock, was the teaching supervisor in charge of the student council at that time, and we discussed an idea, which was to have this Berkeley Green and Gold Ball. To have an event where we could bring not only the alumni, but also students, current students of Berkeley together to celebrate Berkeley's history and its legacy and just to promote some camaraderie between the old and the new, you know. We see so much about how Berkeley is and what it was, and, you know, I spoke to a lot of older Berkeleyites who said, you know, they're in the new building now and it's not the same. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember what Berkeley is, you know, regardless of the building. It's a whole culture that's associated with Berkeley, you know?
Yeah.
So that was what we hope to implement, and I'm happy to see that it's still running today.
Mm-hmm. So take us back to you guys, how you guys were during the planning stages of this event.
I mean, it was a bit hectic at first because we were trying to put on an event that we knew nothing about. You know, we didn't know where we would have it or how many people would attend. So of course, it's always that anxiousness when you're first bringing an event together, but the board believed in it. The students believed in it. We had our student council members who worked diligently. I think the president at the time, her name was Lady Carmela Robinson. We had the secretary, Sarah Douglas, and vice president, Bria Harrison-Mendez, and then myself as treasurer. And, you know, we just had to meet, you know, after school, during lunch hour, you know, to try and get this thing together. The original aim was to make it some sort of charity event. I knew they were doing a documentary on Berkeley at the time about his legacy at the same year. So they wanted to have a focus on that at the event. And at the same time, we wanted to raise some money for some scholarships for some of the students. So I believe at the time, Fremont Hamilton Princess was gracious enough to give us a good rate on the ballroom so that we could help to fundraise and support some of the students at the same time.
How much lead time did you have between the initial thought and the actual event?
It was once we came up with the idea, we hit the ground running, you know, we had to get to it. Mr. Roddick said, hey, we have it planned for November or whatever month it was at the time.
I think it was May.
May?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
May or June. It was
right.
Just before graduation.
Right. So he presented the idea to us around maybe November at the beginning of the school year. As soon as that happened, we were hitting the ground running. You know, you had to do decorations, we had to contact caterers, we had to contact the Fremont Southampton, we had to, you know, get everything together. And overall, it was a great success, I would say, the first year.
So how many, so on your planning committee, how many persons were there? The same student body?
Yeah, the student council along with the board and the members, I would say maybe 5 or 6 people, maybe 10 max, as far as when you know, with certain specialized positions and people helping out here and there. About 10 people, I would say, came and bought it together.
And how many times a week or month did you have to meet to get things done?
Whenever the need arose, you know. Originally, it was once every week, and then as it got closer to, we were meeting every day, and then after school, and then right up to the event, you know, working day in and day out to get it, you know, looking nice. And I know some of the teachers helped out with the decorations, and just using some of the school's equipment and getting stuff together, you know.
So basically, Barkley ingenuity.
Barkley, exactly. Everybody improvising, and overall, it was a great success.
And how were you when you went out to different members of the community or alumni? How were you received?
Very well. Very well. As far as from the media, to some people with radio stations and things like that, people contributing decorations and their time and effort where they couldn't contribute funding or anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, Barkley is an entire culture. Everywhere you go in Bermuda, you'll meet a Barkleyite, and everybody recognizes another Barkleyite. So nobody had any qualms when it came to coming together to support this event.
Mm-hmm. So on the actual night of the event, how did things go in your, not like at the end result, but like from, let's say, 5-6 o'clock onward, how were things coming together? Did you have any hiccups?
You know, I could almost say everything went very, it was almost perfect, you know. We put the proper planning in place and everybody was ready for this event. And you know, you always have your little hiccups as far as, oh, where's this decoration, or you know, we need some extra chairs here and there. But overall, the students, you know, the in addition to the student council heads, which were the president, etc., we have a lot of student representatives and even some S1s and S2s. And I know Sage Robinson was in her fresh year at Barkley at the time, and even she was willing to help day in and day out. So all of these students, aside from just student council, chipped in, you know, and people came to take pictures. We had the school photographer there doing the official photos.
Who was the photographer?
Sarah Douglas at the same time as the secretary was filling in for that. So, you know, from Barkley has the photography club and things like that as an elective. So those classmates and students would have come out. The music committee would have come and put on a performance and things like that. So everybody kind of contributed in their own little way, and it just came together like moving parts, you know.
Okay, so at the end, So apart from the actual mechanics of the event, how did you feel the event went?
I mean, it was definitely...
Like if you were just an attendee,
right?
How do you feel?
It was a night to remember, really. I mean, very rarely, you know, you have your old people functions, quote unquote, and you have your young people's sessions or whatever. And this was one where it was a little bit of both, you know? You had families who had booked tables. I know that my family, the Parenchy family personally, we booked a table together. So you could reserve tables in advance. So you had those old high school rivalries coming back. You had families who have traditions of being at Barkley. I know there are a lot of other family names other than Parenchy, Jacksons or whoever, who all their kids and their kids' kids have gone to Barkley. And all of those families came out, you know. So you had young and old in the same room, having dinner, watching performances, laughing about old times at Barkley, what's changed, what had remained the same. And then it was a night of dancing afterwards, you know. There was even a Barkleyite there who was about 80 or 90 years old, who was got up on stage and was dancing and laughing about all the memories she had. And I think the young students that were there really enjoyed that, you know, just to see that it is an institution to have pride in. It's more than just a school.
So, yeah, that's good to hear. So, were you guys able to fulfill your mandate from a financial perspective of raising funds?
Yeah, we were. I mean, I think it's something that would get better year after year as we fix some of the hiccups and make it more efficient. But overall, we were able to come up with the funding for what I think they call the Peace and Unity Award. I don't know if it's that particular one, but I know the Student Council now every year gives out a scholarship, and I think that has a lot to do with this Barkley Green and Gold Bowl. And it goes to students who they find that, you know, are exemplary. So we were able to meet the goal and more, you know.
All right, so as you know, there's a Green and Gold Bowl coming up in the end of October. Unfortunately, you will be here.
I'll be back in school,
Either a tan or two, as you say, pitch in with that Barkley culture, right? So what would you say to the current student council and the current student body and even persons from your graduating year who are actually here, what would you say to them in regards to this event?
Right. Well, there's certainly a demand for this event based on the fact that ever since we started it in 2014 or 2015, it's been going on annually now. And here we are, and when it's its third ball and continuing on. So it's something that definitely any Barclayite can appreciate. So I would say whether you're a Barclayite at Bermuda College or whether you're a Barclayite, you know, at the seniors' home, everybody can come out and support. The student council's putting this on. I'm sure they've put their full effort into it. And it's something for all Barclayites to enjoy, you know, so just come out and support it, you know, just as you were supported when you were Barclayite, support the Barclayites behind you, you know. It's always great to bridge the young and the old, and the green and the gold.
So on that note, and as you brought up the green and gold, which house are you on?
I'm definitely on Gold House.
Could you say that again, sir?
I'm sure any listener hearing can definitely tell that the person speaking, this is the voice of a Gold House member.
Okay, that's clear. So what would you say in closing, what would you say, not specific to Barclayites, but what would you say to your fellow young Bermudians right now who are in school locally, whether it be at whichever high school, in the college, and those who have started university, what message would you give to them?
I think the most fitting message I could give is respect for now. And that will be keep the end of you, you know. We have a lot more to go as far as young students who are still getting their degree, you know. We're just starting out in the journey of life, I guess you could say. And always keep the end of you.
Okay. So just for clarity again, there's supposed to be, from what I understand, a trophy for best attendance of which house shows up, or whichever more house shows up.
I remember that now.
So, what would you say to those that should be attending as far as which house you think should be best represented?
Now, I don't remember who won the first year we had it, but it was probably based on, you know, history and whatnot. It was probably Gold House. I mean, I already know that Gold House is going to show up in full force on this next event coming. So I'm just going to have to say Green House, step it up in advance. I don't even know how many people are going from Green House, but I already know they need to step it up.
Okay.
Gold House is going to take the win anyway, but we like to see some Green House people there anyway. You know?
Yeah, for the contrast.
Just to be there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If it's just Gold House, then it'll be like a Gold House
bowl. Then it's a Gold Bowl, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to put a little green in it.
Yeah, just
so
to see.
So come support the green and gold, you know.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank
Mr.
you for
Parent
having
Chief.
Me.
Robinson Parent Chief, sorry.
Right.
Let me not forget that part. And I wish you luck, as with most Bermudians, all Bermudians will wish you luck in your endeavors. And we need to have more of our young people, not just out there studying, but gaining world experience, as you did. Not necessarily just academic experience, but world experience.
For sure.
And when the season is due, when your season is due, you bring that back in.
For sure.
You know, because
stay grounded.
You are our next, you know, you are our pension plan. And on that note, I end this lovely conversation with Mr. Ryan Robinson Parenchy.
Okay, thank you for having me, Mr. Famous.
No problem, my brother.
Bermuda Bistro at the Beach is centrally located on Front Street in Hamilton. Our dedicated service staff are ready to serve you a selection of delicious items for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Open daily from 9 a.m. till 3 a.m., Bermuda Bistro is Bermuda's best spot for pub fare, gourmet burgers, and specialty cocktails. Owned and operated by Mr. Richard Olson, Mr. Olson brings his wealth of knowledge and expertise in the restaurant industry to create a restaurant and bar that attracts all walks of life. Happy hours at the beach are Bermuda's number one hotspot that hosts an array of live entertainment featuring Bermuda's top entertainers. Stay late and enjoy the beats of local DJs spinning reggae, soca, and more. Bermuda Bistro at the Beach is the fame of Front Street.
Thank you for tuning in to Bermuda's Current Affairs Podcast with Christopher Famous. Listen at your leisure on www.bermuda.com, your 24/7 Bermuda news source.